Welcome to A Course in Miracles. This is a super insightful section of the book we're in, Obstacles to Peace. It's teaching something that we wouldn't believe on the surface we needed to be taught. That we participate very intimately in blocking peace. We participate in our own frustration. This is a very personal message which we reject it on the surface. That if we were to look at distrust, we were to look at such things as loneliness, look at such things as anger, we'd look at such things as fear, we would look to the heart of guilt, worry, discomfort of any type. The Course would show us very clearly we are participating in that. You're not a victim, is one of the vectors of this Course. You're never a victim, ever. If that's true, then at any moment were you to feel anything, good or bad, you're not a victim. You are participating very personally in your experience of your life. Seek no further than your own thoughts, we teach over and over. The obstacles to peace. And they are founded in our addiction. Separate ego you. It's only two, right? It's only two. You versus everything else and everybody else. It's just two. Or is it many? Is it you versus her and him and the government and God? Individual problems. And then you're together with a few of them where you're not you versus them. You're actually joined with a few others, but not with the them, but with those. Is that how it is? Unless we have a competition going here. Obstacles to your peace. Be it just two possibilities, or it's really binary, really plurality, just simple duality, Advaita. Or if it's all these different flavors that you have to work your way through and conquer. The Course says, take your pick, doesn't matter. I will show you, I will demonstrate that it is your very personal thoughts that are the blocks to your peace at any instant. It's the bad news and it's the good news. I think it's really good news. Sense, if you made it up, you can give it up. We could get to this point, which is what we do here together in this room. We get to the point where we can get your ego peeled off and put aside for a moment and witness what's happening when. Witness where you diverge from peace, happiness, love, joy, connection to spirit. When you're not peaceful. And then when you are peaceful. And we will put the source to either of those. In your present consciousness, that is enlightenment, is where in your present consciousness is the awareness of the truth, of your connection to all. It feels like peace. But like I said before, peace is only the soil from which happiness grows. Peace is not happiness. Peace is where happiness grows. No soil, no plant. I know you're thinking about the bromeliads and everything. Hmm? You know, I thought you were thinking of the bromeliads, the plants that can grow in air.
Air and water.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Yeah, right. Okay, so now how would you go from any addiction where you're consumed by the behavior, by the thoughts, even by the people. If you're codependent, you're addicted to people. How do you go from the addiction? If it's anger, if it's sorrow, you keep feeling sorry for yourself, you can't get away from it, whatever it is. How do you go from living in that to denying it and living free? We would need some tools. We need a miracle. But you also need a very, very essential, I don't know why this isn't talked about more in every other discipline, you would need some kind of certainty that you were capable of being joyous with the hip, with the cancer, with the family, with the whatever, education, background. Are you capable, given your life, your circumstance, is it even possible that you could experience simple joy? Or is that for somebody else, really? Fair question. Are you capable? We can talk about how to do it, sure. We got tools and lessons and, you know, you got time, you can go through them and you get there. Good. But you know, I'm telling you, I think that there is a confidence, a trust, a confidence. Like if you were to sign up for a college course in, let's say, calculus, today's day and age, trigonometry, once you figure out how to spell it, sign up for it and see how you do. Might be uncomfortable. But when you've taken, remember in school you took the math courses that led up to it and they began to hint at it before you got to class, it was a little nervous, but you kind of had the algebra and Stowe, and you had some geometry and Stowe, and okay, bring it on, I know how to do this. But for us to go back now and do that, I'm not sure I can. I think it'd be very, very uncomfortable. I would probably just fail. I can't remember the terms and the relationships of this and the basic form. Nah. What about your spirituality? What about your joyful awakening? What about your waking to complete liberation? What about your spiritual identity? Might it be so different than what you believe in now? So, we're making the journey from smallness and materialism to very largeness and spiritual identity. Is there a gap? Is there a transition? Is there a friendly place in the middle? Or you ripped out of being in a body and dropped into it being spirituality, dropped into a trig class midterm. Turns out, you can take as long as you like. You can just stay in a body, come back to a body, do it over. There's no hurry. If there was a hurry, maybe you would have been ushered along a little faster as it is. You've been taking your time about this whole thing? There's no hurry. There's no problem from the source perspective. There's no problem in truth. And from my perspective, there's a problem. I want more of that happiness, more of that peace, all the time, preferably. So is there a transition? Yes. We all absolutely go through complete identity with the material before this. So we go through a transition where we have to release the reality of the material before we can accept the reality of the spiritual. Have to? Why do you have to have a transition? Because they're mutually exclusive. Now, I'm talking about the identity here. You can talk about both, and we do. We flip back and forth all the time. What I'm talking about is your identity. What you believe you can do. What is true for you. And I know everybody here truly knows how to handle a body. Feed it. Water it. Get it kissed and hugged. Keep it dry or once in a while, wash it. You know how to handle a body. It's got it down cold. Do you know how to handle your spirit? Can you just be that? See, turns out this is a place to escape from spirit, being in a body, time and space. An ego is the thought system that maintains it. You can escape from spirit. The perfect job, Jeff, you did it. Oh my God, look at all you put, totally set it up. You could circle in this amusement park forever. Yeah. So, transition place, okay? Of Course in Miracles tries to lead us out of the material and let us get exposed to a spiritual identity. Leading us out of the material is busting the ego. So, I'm sure you weren't here. Was that Luana or
Luann?
Luann, you weren't here. You guys might have been. Do you remember when we talked about the secret garden?
Oh yeah.
Two sections ago. Oh yeah. Yeah. That's nice. She wasn't here, but she knows who was. That's a talent.
I thought you said I wasn't. I was here.
Oh yeah, you weren't.
Two sessions ago, I was here.
Oh yeah, yeah. Two sections ago. Yeah, it would have been a man like.
Two sections.
Yeah, 2016.
Never mind. That was
thank
the
you.
Spirit talking through me.
Yeah, I was like really helpful. Like she's right. She's so right. So, Course in Miracles, a few sections back, describes a place that you would allow in your mind where you would meet with the Holy Spirit. You would surrender all your thoughts and memories. A place where you would surrender you. Let there be a place in your mind where you would actually surrender everything you know about you. Remember we did last week, we did you? So what I want you to think about now is, and for anybody who has never done it, this is really great. Anybody who has done it, this is even greater because you get to go back and reinforce it. Let's spend a few moments to what is a bridge place in your mind. This is a place in your mind where you are not invited. You're aware. You go to this place. You, but not you. Not the you in the mirror. You hold this in your mind. This place in your mind. So what I'm calling you to do, I'm calling you to make a place in your mind. Make it a very comfortable place. We also call it the altar of your mind. So you might physically make an altar if you're into that. Or you might make a park bench. But if you don't have a picture of a safe, super solid, safe place that you could trust is unbreakable and is peaceful and is a place where the Holy Spirit wouldn't mind hanging with you, pick one tonight. Pick a visual. Pick a place in your mind, a safe place. Excellent. And this will stay with you then, not only for the rest of your life, but this is the rest of your mind. This would be a very handy place in your journey out of separation where the Holy Spirit can comfortably meet you and you will recognize what it feels like to be perfectly safe. Let's go there. Take a moment now and visualize this very, very simple, safe place. Have a key. By key, I mean something, altar, chair, park bench, particular rock. Whatever it is, pick something that you can just keep forever, ever. Somebody here wanted to use their dead cat. I'm not sure that's the direction you want to go here. Make it something absolutely permanent. And sure, whatever you choose, even if it is your cat, it's going to work because it's all in your mind. Choose something very simple, a meeting place of some type that you wouldn't mind holding on to forever. This will be your little garden. It may be a garden. This is a place in your mind where the you that is busy with a body never comes. Can't fit, doesn't come in. It's all busy with the outside world. No. This is a very, very personal, internal place in your mind that is your meeting place for you and the Holy Spirit, the part of your mind still connected to the truth, where you could talk to Jesus if that works for you. And let there be some place, some surface. For me, it's literally an altar where you can bring thoughts and things to just watch them disappear. Where you can turn things over to the Holy Spirit with a surrender. Not for a transformation, a surrender. This is a place of rebirth. You're giving yourself a gift, a doorway. When this is established, only peace can be known here. You get accustomed to coming to this peaceful place, since nothing else is allowed in. Nothing that knows of any kind of chaos or contraction at all. That's all outside. No, this is a place in your mind. A safe, beautiful, comfortable place in your mind. It will go with you everywhere. You will have it always. In this way, you will know peace is true. The more you visit this place in your meditations, it will become a stronger resting place for your mind. And you can go there more quickly. And all the chaos you might find in the outside drops away so easily. As this becomes more real and more common and more certain than any of the variety of the outside world. See this place in your mind now. This is a holy place. This is a place where you can actually experience the simplicity of wholeness, to which nothing can be added. A place where you can commune with all the power that the Holy Spirit brings. The power for joy, for sharing, the power for creating, the power for laughter. Perfect trust. Insight into the source of all, the doorway to the source of all, is now in your mind. This is a place where you could easily let go of all the chaos or pain of the world. You're familiar with it already, this doorway. What a nice thing to have. What an easy place for the Holy Spirit to chat with you. It's very, very simple here. It's always the perfect temperature. There's never any pain. there's no suffering. There's open-mindedness. The ability to receive. The complete trust in your spiritual wholeness is here. In this very simple place in your mind. From here, you can do anything because you are truly free in this undefended place in your mind. Good thing to have in your toolbox. A really good gift to have given yourself. And the type of stillness you get from meditation, when you get that sense of simplicity, that spaciousness, this is a place where you can know that you're not a victim and you're free to choose at any time. Peace. It's really good to know. This is something you know. This is something you get to know that is true. That you get to prove to yourself. And then when the chaos comes in the world and you get a chance to squeeze into the closet for a minute, just close your eyes and go right there. Take a few breaths. You even have to go back out and handle the problem, right? You find a way. You just take a few breaths in your little garden. The Holy Spirit will say, I'm with you, let's go. I'll look at it differently with you and for you. Don't worry about what to say or what to do, what to say to whom. I'll cover you. You just go quiet and bring me with you. And off you go back into the chaos, into the fear situation. But you're carrying light now. This is the kind of thing you can get. This is the ability that's awakened in you for putting this place in your mind. Practice it often until it's just more real to you than any other place on the planet. Then you got it. Yeah. Turn to page 407 in the text. Now that we have a little confidence that we can do it, we can do anything, this book says. Page 407. You there?
Yeah.
Paragraph 2?
Yes, sir. All this will you do. Yet the peace that already lies deeply within must first expand and flow across the obstacles you place before it. This will you do, for nothing undertaken with the Holy Spirit remains unfinished. You can indeed be sure of nothing you see outside you, but of this you can be sure. The Holy Spirit asks that you offer him a resting place where you will rest in him. He answered you and entered your relationship. Would you not now return his graciousness and enter into a relationship with him? For it is he who offered your relationship the gift of holiness, without which it would have been forever impossible to appreciate your brother.
Yes! Okay. So, we talked about having some intermediary state of mind or transition to going from the material world of competition to the spiritual world of unity. The Holy Spirit is the translator of the things that look like trouble to seeing in the same things that would say you're in trouble, you can be at peace with these very things. The Holy Spirit's job. Really easy if you've touched peace before in your own mind. Now you can actually cooperate with the Holy Spirit. Cooperate means you both operate at the same time. You saying, I'll meet you at my little garden. And you get simple, right? Your mind is busy and racing in the outside world and worried or what have you, angry, what have you. And you say, I'm going to leave that. I know how to leave that now. I'm going to my little garden. And the Holy Spirit, I can talk with you very easily there. You'll cooperate with the Holy Spirit by this. This is just simply going quiet.
We should do a bumper sticker called HS is my co-pilot.
Yeah. Yes.
Cool, man.
Yes.
The people thinking.
Conversation starter. Okay. Let's go to page. Keep your finger here and turn back to page 390. And let's just visit this again a little bit. Good to do this every once in a while. Okay, so here on page 390, just above the little garden, is paragraph 8. Actually describes in a very pithy way this little garden. So, this is the section called, I Need Do Nothing.
Pithy meaning adroitly?
Adroitly, yes, few words, very quickly said, not much flavor, quick, get a job done. You know, I Need Do Nothing is a section that paragraph 8 finishes. It's, I think, the most misunderstood section in the whole book. Because it says, you know, I need do nothing, and it's speaking to you, busy spiritual ego, or ego. And what you need to do very quickly and as soon as possible and as often as possible is to do nothing. That's going to be really hard because you're so good. You want love so badly. You want to be fair, don't you? Don't you want to be kind? Yeah. Yeah. You need to do nothing for a while. You need a place in your mind where you're not invited. What? Now you're available to actually know nothing for just a moment and hear the power of the Holy Spirit who does know, who can see, can judge, can actually be helpful. Yes. Yes. Let's read that wonderful paragraph. I don't know. It's so tempting to read the whole freaking section, but let's go. Start with 7, actually. Let's read 7 and 8. Chris, are you ready to paragraph 7?
Are you talking about I Need Do Nothing or the little garden?
That I Need Do Nothing on paragraph 7. It's going to be on page 390, the same page as the little garden.
Oh, 7 is, yes.
Yeah.
To do anything involves the body, and if you recognize you need do nothing, you have withdrawn the body's value from your mind. Whew. Here is the quick and open door through which you slip past centuries of effort and escape from time. This is the way in which sin loses it all attraction right now. For here is time denied and past and future gone. Who needs do nothing has no need for time. To do nothing is to rest and make a place without...
Within?
I don't know whether to take my glasses on or off. To do nothing is to rest and to make a place within you where the activity of the body ceases to demand attention.
Mm-hmm.
Into this place, the Holy Spirit comes and there abides. He will remain when you forget, and the body's activities return to occupy your conscious mind.
Is this like a doorway to get out of your stinking thinking? Is that what this is being recommended here? I would say so. I would say the sooner the better. The sooner the better you find a way to let go of all your body's busy doings and still be you. You've found a door now. You got an escape hatch. This is something you should come to be very, very intimate with and very close to.
So, what did you mean just then when you said, and still be you? Because you were talking about where the you that is still you is not allowed.
Is not invited.
Yeah, so, but you said a place where you can still be you.
Julie, tell her.
The definition of the Holy Spirit, you mean?
Where are you going? You know what a koan is? Do you ever study any? This is a koan. Because you only know you. You know something that's not true. That's the problem. You look in the mirror and say, "Hi, Donna. There I am." No, it's not you. This is a block to your awareness of love's presence, is when you look in the mirror and say, "There I am." Oh, that's my full intention.
Okay.
It's my absolute intention to make you pause and think, what is he even asking? Anybody else who's been here and gone through that? Can you help her describe how do you show up in this place when you're not invited? How can you have a place in your mind where you're not invited? Anybody puzzle that out any further?
It must be where the ego's not invited.
It's where the ego's not invited. If you're not an ego, it's not hard.
Drop all that ego crap and just float on into a peace.
Yeah. What does the ego feel like? Anybody? A few words? Anybody? There's 1,000 answers. What does the ego feel like, Jeff? What's the ego feel like? I'll come back to you, Julie. Come on.
Busy.
There you go.
Yeah.
Carol, what's the ego feel like? Just pick anything.
Frantic.
Demanding. Donna?
Troublemaker.
Troublemaker. Chris?
Anxious.
Yes.
Imperfect.
Yes. Fearful.
In control.
It's in control. It's got to figure it out. It knows. This is what the ego feels like. And the more we do the workbook, the more you catch the flavors of the ego and say, that's ego. I don't need to listen to that. Here I am trying to fix my problems with the ego in one of these flavors. We could have gone, once we got going, we probably could have whipped up a whole bunch of very aware. We should do that sometimes, shouldn't we? And just get aware of all the flavors of the ego, obviously. Anxious, yeah. Angry, fearful, guilty, impatient.
Sad,
yeah.
Lonely.
Frustrated.
Feeling in the pit.
Depressed. The pit of the stomach. Yeah. The know-it-all. The ego, actually.
The worrier.
This is what ego feels like.
Now, I'm hoping there'd be a book out someday.
Yep.
Which I would read.
Yes.
I didn't even write it if I had a co-writer.
Andrew.
about how to let go of the ego.
Yeah.
And so many certain steps.
Yeah.
Leading to peace.
Yes. It's already been written. There's 365 steps. It's a good book. It's on the bookshelf over there.
That's what I get for opening my mouth.
Yeah.
I get a lot of attention.
Yeah. But it's a very, very honest point and prayer. How you let go of the ego. I'm in. I love it. Absolutely.
Yeah. I've been thinking about that lately.
Absolutely. Yes.
It's like a prayer in reverse.
Like a prayer in reverse. Pretty clever, Carol. Yes. You know what? Yeah, go ahead.
I think for me, the primary characteristic of the ego is it knows.
It knows! It already knows. It just needs now to do what it already knows and get everybody else to do what it knows they should do too.
Absolutely. It knows how you should feel. It knows what you should do. It knows what you shouldn't do. So it knows.
And it knows what other people should do. And how. And it can fix other people better than it can fix itself. It's so helpful.
One of my... the time when I... It wasn't ego. It was... My therapist said to me one time, why don't you become a psychologist? And I didn't think it just came out. Yes. Mm-hmm. And I thought, I don't know where that came from. Mm-hmm. It's just a yes. I've never ever thought of it before.
So now, having said that, can anybody help Donna or Donna? Can you pronounce now how there could be a place in your mind where you're not invited?
Well, the place that I think I just heard some words, but in this whole thing, it's like I ask myself, what is the place that's not disturbed by any of this? And then I immediately am in that place, and there's nothing there. It's completely, there's nothing. Uh-huh. It's like what you said last week, that the peace is turned on by nothing.
Yeah.
There's nothing.
Yes.
So, I mean, it's as far as I've gotten.
But it's there, isn't it?
Yes.
It exists? That's it. Good enough. It's an experience, isn't it? It's an experience. We use words to try to get ourselves into a willingness to try not inviting everything you know about yourself, and yet you're still you. You're still there. Yes, indeed. Absolutely true. It's not bad, though. If you can get all the way to that purely, that pure state, it's not bad. Mm-hmm. And then you start to ache for love. That's fine. I would say good progress for the Buddhists or the Vipassana, the 20 years contemplating everything to death. And they finally die. They're still alive, but they're dead. But there's something that wants to live. Good. I would say correct success. Huge success. Kind of a stark way to go about it. I don't think it's necessary. But it might be.
I think the ego says you never do anything right. You're not right. Mm-hmm. You're wrong. Mm-hmm. Whatever you're doing is wrong.
It's always defending. It's protecting. And it knows it knows really always what it does not want.
Because it will say you're right sometimes, and in 30 seconds later it'll say you're wrong, because it literally, like, is so conflicting, because it only knows what it doesn't want, and that catching that is like, it's huge for me when I catch that, because that's the, you always say bust the ego, like for me, that I could want one thing so specific 1 second, and literally 5 seconds later be like, oh, but that would be really horrible for this reason. And
yes, good.
That is, good catch. I don't know, that always busts my ego. Like, wait, you can't want two completely polar opposite things in the same.
Excellent, Julie. Excellent. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. That's what ego feels like.
Actually, I think the ego can want two different things within 5 seconds.
It can, but what I know, that's not who I am. That's what I mean. It's like I catch it. Yeah. When I see it that close together, I catch it.
It's incompatible with honesty.
Yeah.
To want two things that are opposites.
And sometimes those things, it's like it has this ripple effect on other people. Mm-hmm. Anyway, it's too long a story, but mm-hmm. yeah. It's like you just see it. Like you can't have both things, and it's a conflict. And if there's conflict, it's not truth.
Yep.
You know.
And the ego's built on it.
Yes. Eckhart calls the pain body.
Oh, yeah. Eckhart Tolle's pain body.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Isn't that that sounds to me? It feels to me a bit like it's.
Yeah. Yeah. The shadow figure, of Course in Miracles, and the pain body. You would hold on to this. As required for living.
You know, lately, just from doing my lessons and doing the course and reading, and I'm supposed to kind of let the ego go, and so I try to keep it in mind as much as I can, mm-hmm. and I'm far from it, from perfection, of course.
Yeah.
But I noticed where I go, I see examples of the ego, stark examples mm-hmm. everywhere I go. Mm-hmm. Donald Trump. Mm-hmm. I'm just thinking.
And you're self-complaining about Donald Trump.
I'm not complaining. I'm not
saying anything. if you did, that would be the ego too. Or yourself praising Donald Trump.
No, I noticed it. I just noticed it. I'm not praising her.
Yes.
And I'm not putting my personal opinion in.
Okay.
This. I'm just saying, as an example of an ego.
Yeah.
There's no better one than Donald Trump.
Yeah.
And I see it in others mm-hmm. too. And I see the reason I say the things in there is defending the ego, because if they don't, if they don't defend it, then their ego is their purpose is gone.
Yep.
And so it makes me think about that, and it's hard not to respond to it. But that's the place where I need to go to find my peace in the midst of the swirling maelstrom of ego effects.
Yes. Especially when you go to your peace and then come back to what would have been the maelstrom, you have shifted from the presence of the Holy Spirit in your mind. Mm-hmm. And you will see all of it different, like you did. You will see things differently. And your freedom has begun. It's really good to do this in chaos. That's where the best miracles are to be found, or in the worst chaos.
To disconnect from the ego.
Yes.
And go to your special place.
Yes.
And summon the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
And bring it into your heart.
Yes.
And then bring that heart out.
Yes.
Into your environment.
Actually experience peace for a moment. Mm-hmm. Actually experience simplicity and peace and wholeness in the middle of chaos. Just takes an instant to reset everything. Yes?
The eye of the storm.
Yes.
I have a question. So, I know it works for me, but I'm just curious what your perspective on this would be. Because this place, I mean, it's kind of ironic because you're saying this is the place where you go where you isn't invited, but like there's still an altar on which you place crap mm-hmm. that's the you, so that clearly your you entered the space. Mm-hmm. But anyway, my point is that you said something at the very beginning prior to the meditation about like denying those things. And for me, like if it's maybe with small things it's easy to just deny, but for the things that I perceive as bigger, I have to feel into them. Mm-hmm. It's the facing it thing that you've talked about. Mm-hmm. And feel into it without judgment. So I'm just allowing it to be as it is. But I'm not sure how that translates with this idea of sort of like denying. Because they seem like opposites, like to allow yourself to be with it versus mm-hmm. like deny it.
You would, in order to release it or to let it go, you have to pick it up and look at it and fully embrace it one last time. Which is why I say in the meditation, you take this, you feel it, you get the whole angst and everything going, and you bring it and you put it on the altar. Not to heal it, not to transform it, not to change it in any way, only to surrender it, to watch it disappear. I do it back into light. I see it circle around and everything is made of this light. So I take this, whatever it is, thought, feeling, object, whatever, I get some kind of a form out of it, and I just put it on the altar and just watch it poof back into white light. I release it. And I just go to peace again. That's over. The whole idea is to release, release, release. Forgiveness is release, release, release. We'll take a miracle that you could actually take this thing and be willing to let it go. That maybe it doesn't really mean everything you think it does. That's the miracle. Mm-hmm. Probably my ego making a troublesome thought and worrying about something that just can't actually touch me in reality. Yes?
Well, I don't know if this is my ego working overtime or not, but it just seems like the chaos that we experience right now in our country and the world, maybe this is overreach, but is set up for us to make this transformation.
Maybe really?
It's true of everything, but...
You can only take so much. You can only take so much. It's absolutely true.
It's in so in our face.
Yeah.
So what are we going to choose? That or this that you're talking about?
And you will.
And it just seems like people are choosing to feel connected to that more because of this craziness.
You know, I so love what you just said. I think that's a wonderful thing.
Yes.
Back when Trump, I thought he was going to be elected before I heard, and when he was elected, I said, okay, now we get to have a chain of reformation.
Yeah. The sooner the change. Better.
Yeah.
And it will bring out the truth, will be brought forward. Mm-hmm. And if you're in the cold, but it's not so cold you have to worry about it, you kind of vacillate a little bit, you know. But you go into the snowbank and take your shoes off, where's the heat? I'm going to it now in a hurry. Yeah, absolutely. Yes. Okay, so the prayer is that you would get confidence from finding peace in your life and have a place that you will carry from this meeting forever. And from this book on this page on that paragraph, you got permission to do it forever. You will now have a place in your mind nothing can shake. It will be your exit door. You have a place where you can go to peace anytime.
Andrew,
yes?
Can you speak to grievances and the ego? Like someone who just holds on to grievances and grudges? How's the ego? What is that?
Well, that's called a personal private hell. And the grievances is where you look at a particular prison bar in the hell and say, this is the problem with my life. This bar right here. If this were different, I would be happy, but it ain't. So it's like a prison bar.
That's a good description. Mm-hmm.
Personal private hell.
A cage that doesn't want to
leave. Oh, there's no wall, actually, behind you, but you've never looked. So you, all you look is at the bar. You look at door B, constantly going for a door that's out of reach. As I'm looking at the prison bars, and the course it says, you know, the exact opposite direction is an open field with honey and freedom and happiness and simplicity and love. But you're so busy looking at these bars and how strong they are. That's a grievance. And so the book deals with that. Precisely. There's a lesson called, my grievances hide the light of the world in me. It's a whole lesson title. And there's others. He said, I can give up the world I see by giving up attack thoughts.
Right.
You don't say. And you get busted throughout the day how many attack thoughts, little and big, as you have. This builds the world. Prison bars. Yeah. They just suck. And they're not necessary. And they're maintained by the thinker.
Do you think ego can like create like a paradox in your mind where you've tried lots of things, let's say, and maybe some have worked, some have haven't, but you've come to a paradox where you don't feel like you know what to do and you just so you do anything. You know, your ego's kind of telling you, well, nothing's going to work.
Mm-hmm.
So don't do anything. Mm-hmm. You know, which is like a non-action kind of a Buddhist thing.
Yeah.
But then you start to beat yourself up because you're not getting anywhere. Nothing's changing. It's just stagnant.
What happens is in that stagnation is it becomes the stagnation itself becomes the focus. So now you really are busy doing something. You're busy being empty. You're busy having no purpose. You're busy having no heart and life and energy and direction. It becomes very occupying to keep that up. It gets busted when you actually get really honest and really go to nothing and really go simple, where there's no angst in your heart at all about nothing, if nothing is the focus. Or if you've got six kids and everything is too much, really go to peace with everything. All six kids and the two jobs. And you go into your little garden on your short bus ride between the two jobs, if that's the only place you got, that's where you do it. And you go to peace and say, I'm not invited. All that busyness is not invited, and here I am. And you go, oh yeah. Awoken in that moment is the simplicity that you actually do carry all the time. From that, the Holy Spirit can reach you. The real you. And you can come back in with your light now into what otherwise was dark and too busy or too empty. Now you come back with the light of the Holy Spirit empowering you. And it translates this into opportunity for life.
I think that's what you do with what Jeff is talking about. But I think also that what I believe is the ego knows itself better than I do. And I can try to talk myself out of thinking I should be stagnant, talk myself out of this, talk myself out of that. And every time I try to talk myself out of something, it's my ego talking. Mm-hmm. It's like, I'm never going to win this thing.
Yeah.
I'm never going to win it.
Made a whole world that way. Made a whole world with a couple characters.
I have a question.
Yes.
So, just as an example, you want to find peace in the middle of a real stressful situation. Say somebody tapped your bumper or you tapped theirs.
Yes.
And you've been having a bad day. Yeah. You're real angry, and how could this person drive like this, you're saying?
Yeah.
So you both have to stop and you get out, but before you get out, you say, and there's barely any time to do this, hardly any time is my point. You go to the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, help me quickly now to find peace in the situation.
Yes.
And then if you're in the middle of a conversation with somebody, would it be best to stall them for a second so you can get that peace?
Yes. Are you kidding? Yeah. You say, excuse me. Can I just have a moment?
Yeah, yeah.
Have a moment. And they get steam in front of you. You go, like this. Okay, let's see if we can make this better. You hit me! I know, let's see if we can make it better. What's the next right thing to do here? But you need to collect yourself first. Go still. Now, for me, I've been doing A Course in Miracles, and it has brought me a addiction to peace. So I'm never too far away from really, really, really peaceful. Never too far away. It's a very short journey. I can remember when it was not a short journey. When I first picked up the book, I thought, this is all great, but I'm really busy with these problems and, you know, stinking thinking. You know, it was a long journey to get to what this book says you can have. Says it.
Letting go of judgment.
Yeah. 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 Letting go of judgment, honestly.
Yeah.
Not because you shouldn't judge, right. Page 26, Manual for Teachers, because you cannot judge. You don't actually know how what's going on affects everybody, including you, not just for now, but for all time. You have no visibility to that. So you should let go of judgment because you're totally incapable of doing it right.
Well, it's the Holy Spirit's job.
It's the Holy Spirit's job, who can see the outcome for everybody.
And there's only one time that judgment is appropriate.
And it is?
Emotion.
How you feel.
Right.
Are you at peace? That's the one judgment you get to make. Good. It's Course in Miracles student sitting over there. Nicely done.
Good job. I remember that, but I wouldn't have been able to call it up.
Nice. Okay, let's do paragraph 8. Yes, please.
Okay. Yet there will always be this place of rest to which you can return. And you will be more aware of this quiet center of the storm than all its raging activity. This quiet center in which you do nothing will remain with you, giving you rest in the midst of every busy doing on which you are sent. For from this center will you be directed how to use the body sinlessly. It is this center from which the body is absent that will keep it so in your awareness.
It is this center from which the body is absent that will keep it so absent in your awareness of it. Yes! do this. This is one of the I need do nothing things you should do, is have this place where the body is not invited. None of its concerns. You. The you that you know.
Equated with meditation?
Yes, thank you.
So that should be a meditation.
Absolutely. Yeah. Give yourself this gift of meditation and visit it often so that the path is well-worn in your mind. Get the pathway in your mind well-worn through meditation, calling this up. First thing you do in the morning, first thing you go to bed, is go ahead and just go to your little garden for a few moments and wear those neurons in well so that they can quickly be called on. And it becomes the most comfortable place to be.
Right.
Well, you're standing in line at Safeway. You're waiting for the doctor's office. You're at the red light. Great time. Perfect. Just run those neurons and go to that little garden. Make it very, very comfortable. Make it the most comfortable place in your mind. And this will become the door for you to make the big
move. Look forward to that new neuronal alignment.
Yeah, baby. Nice.
Do you believe in synchronicities?
Yeah, sure.
I had a synchronicity with what you just said today. I couldn't believe you said it. I was talking to a client and I said, we can be thankful when the light is green, because we get to go. We can be thankful when the light is red, because we get to sit and do nothing for a little bit. And you just got through saying, go to that.
Nice. Yeah, truth is true.
I can take them. That's what I can do when there's nothing to do. I can go to that place.
Yes. Yeah, that's one of the small practical miracles they do in my Course in Miracles study that I had. Rather than being anxious at the red light, I used that time. I shifted my perception of what the red light was for. And it became a place where I could just, wow. And I blessed the people as they drove by, making their left turn, one after the other. And I just decided I'm gonna have a miracle on this, because I'd rather be peaceful. And this light's always too long. So I would just, every day on the way to work, right? I would just say, I hope your kid gets an A in school. I hope your art project works out really well. Hope you find extra money in the bank. I hope, and I just had to get creative. But sometimes they come pretty fast, right? But it was like giving, and it was a wonderful little meditation and experience. And my heart would fill up with all these blessings that I had to feed it. And then, oh, then there goes the light. And I'm trying to think of one for that last guy. Yeah, extra gas in the gas tank. Good. Here we go.
That's a good parallel with the Buddhist loving kindness.
Yes.
Approach to meditation.
Yes.
Sending that out.
Yes. It's transformative. It's transformative to be kind. Send out those thoughts in your mind, and then the neurons align now for kindness.
It gets you out of your own like self-deserving ego, when you start sending those thoughts out.
Feels good. Yes.
Starts to taking action, too.
It is. It is. Yeah. Yeah. It sends different messages in every direction. Good ones. Yeah. Okay. So we're going to leave that. And go back to tonight's reading now and see if we got some insight on this paragraph. Whew! Okay. So, kind of similar to what Jeff just said.
Wait, I lost my finger.
We're on page 407 in the text. Yes.
Can I ask you a question real quick?
Yeah.
Since I didn't get here until we started this Obstacles for Peace, I know we're not supposed to go ahead. Can I go back?
Yeah. In the text, you can go any direction you want, but it really makes a lot of sense if you go in sequence, because the following paragraph usually describes the one you're having trouble with. Often. But yeah, in the text, anytime you can go back, absolutely. Absolutely. I do recommend, though, that you would power through without even understanding what it's saying the first time.
Power the what?
Power through. Turn the page anyway. I didn't get that. Fine. Next page. Because what'll happen is there an awareness will come to you about the messenger and the message. There are I'm guessing, I haven't figured this out yet, but I think 7 levels or more of teaching in this one book, which is why we have met again and again and again and again for, I don't know, is it 13 years now in the same room with the same book. And we keep talking about the same book. But there's so much we're not done yet.
No, I guess I'm a little confused. Power through ahead of this lesson?
Oh, you're in the workbook? For the workbook, one lesson per day.
Okay. No, power
you can go back. The text.
The text. I can go ahead and read ahead of from where we are now?
Yes, you can.
Oh, I thought you must have been talking about the workbook.
The workbook, only rule in the whole book is one lesson per day. Oh. Physical day on the Julian calendar.
Okay.
Yeah.
I thought you were talking about this when I first came in.
Good. Thanks for asking. Yeah. And also, I would recommend you go read the manual for teachers.
Yeah.
For starters. It's a lot of terms are explained there. And it's only 100 pages, and it's a great way to get your head back in the book. Yeah. Good, good. Supplements as well, you're going to have the newest version. So they tacked on the supplements, some other channeling that came after, and they're wonderful. They're really great summaries of how the ego looks at something and how the Holy Spirit looks at the same thing.
I'd be particularly interested in the supplements and psychotherapy, purpose, process, and practice. I'm going to be fascinated with that one.
Oh, yeah, I think so. Good, good, good. Okay. Okay, so what we're talking about is you're carrying the Holy Spirit's message of love and safety and freedom to everyone. That's what we're talking about. So paragraph 2, all this will you do. All this will you do. Carry the message of the Holy Spirit to everyone. Yet, peace that already lies deeply within, like from your little garden, must first expand and flow across the obstacles you've placed before it. You placed. Now this will you do. For nothing undertaken with the Holy Spirit remains unfinished. You can indeed be sure of nothing you see outside you, but of this you can be sure. The Holy Spirit asks that you offer him a resting place where you will rest in him.
I don't know how I missed this.
Now you got it. Now you see it. He answered you and entered your relationship. Would you not now return his graciousness and enter into a relationship with him? For it's he who offered your relationship the gift of holiness. We're talking about going from a special relationship to a holy relationship. With people, with things, with yourself. Where you're bringing the message of holiness rather than competition or doubt. Without which it would have been forever impossible to appreciate your brother. Yes, your brother. Luann?
The gratitude you owe to him, he asks, but that you receive for him. And when you look with gentle graciousness upon your brother, you are beholding him. For you are looking where he is and not apart from him. You cannot see the Holy Spirit, but you can see your brothers truly. And the light in them will show you all that you need to see. When the peace in you has been extended to encompass everyone, the Holy Spirit's function here will be accomplished. What need is there for seeing then? When God has taken the last step himself, the Holy Spirit will gather all the thanks and gratitude that you have offered him and lay them gently before his Creator in the name of his most holy Son. And the Father will accept them in his name. What need is there of seeing in the presence of his gratitude?
Yes. Tricky.
So this isn't describing the energy of being in this place and
in the relationship, then you, not this ego you, but what you experience.
Yeah, you have a true experience of your brother versus the false experience of your brother.
Right. And this creator is having this great time.
It's now all fun. It's play.
Yeah.
Yes. There's no harm done. Mm-hmm. Yes. The gratitude that you owe the Holy Spirit asks but that you receive for the Holy Spirit. Do you see the circle here? Do you see the dog chasing his tail? Do you see how it's a self-fulfilling prophecy? Do you see how the Holy Spirit is part of your mind, not a separate character? Let's read it again. The gratitude that you owe to the Holy Spirit asks, but that you receive for the Holy Spirit. Nicely done, Jesus. It keeps from the spiritual ego from getting this idea that the Holy Spirit is somewhere else and that you actually would be indebted.
Yeah, like it's saving you.
Yes.
It's not saving you. You're changing your mind.
Nicely said, Julie.
Thank you.
Yes. Yes.
You one time said that, maybe we read it and you said again, that our happiness is its happiness. And it sounds to me like this is the same thing. The gratitude is also the gratitude for you.
Yes. Yes.
I think it's like saying we are the Holy Spirit.
Yes. In our right mind.
Right.
We are the Holy Spirit.
I mean, it's not the you of us, but the whatever that's left over.
Yeah.
All of us.
Yeah. Yeah, the book says in the Manual for Teachers, Jesus now no longer a man, human, but is a manifestation of the Holy Spirit. That's right-mindedness. The healed mind. The Christ means that the mind has surrendered the separate identity back to the one extension of God, the Son of God, as God created. This is the healed mind. Sees the one. You also would be the Holy Spirit. Holy, you could put a W in front of that. The whole, the spirit of the whole. No longer the spirit of the individual separated alone, but the spirit of wholeness, understanding.
But don't you think that's what he means when he said, you can see your brothers truly in the light and we'll show you that all you need. Oh wait, that's not quite what I wanted to say. Something about, I interpreted some way in here as saying that when I am in this place, recognizing that gratitude, happiness, whatever, is of myself,
yeah,
that when I look at other people's, I will recognize that they are of myself also, and
yes,
I am of their self also.
Yes, yes.
Mm-hmm. That's what oneness comes from.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Is that right?
You'll no longer be looking for differences, but you'd be looking for similarities and the sameness, and you'll see them. Yes. Yeah, there's a section called Christmas is the End of Sacrifice, and it ends with these words. Make this year different by making it all the same. A little play on words. Clever. Yes, Donna.
Well, I just, I'm thinking about my own experience, and it seems like over and over again, I get to this place where I can
it's like, I guess I'm saying I, but things start dissolving into things, you know, just feeling this gratitude. And it's everyone's in the, you know, it's like there's no separation.
Mm-hmm.
And so is it simply that something in me stops choosing that, that then I will plummet again into the same mess? But I don't see the place where I stop, where I choose that.
Right.
Is that the only mechanism? Because tonight we're talking about the, you know, making this a place that you go to. Is the only mechanism that I'm not choosing, that the something in me is not continuing to choose?
Yes, or, right. Yes, now what you have is you're overcoming a habit of choosing darkness.
Okay.
It's just a habit.
Okay.
You will do it again. You go into the refrigerator and grab the same thing unless you learn not to. You speed on the highway out of habit.
This is the choice.
This is how fast I go. I go 82.
Oh no, it's 72. I'm sorry.
Is that what it is? But it becomes a habit because 55 is just so slow. The habit needs to be changed, and you would do that by choice. You have to break the old habit. Because the ego is the thought system that will continue to rehearse all the things you talked about that ego was in serial fashion again and again. You have to break the habit not to be judgmental. Break the habit not to just get angry to get things your way. To have the habit of compassion is probably not your first choice. Only because of habit. You would like it to be always compassionate, I think. I can speak for you. But sometimes some things push your buttons and the old habits kick in. Anger pops up or fear pops up and you shrink away from something out of habit of being afraid and small. But actually, you know darn well it's time to step forward. So yes, it's a matter of choice, but it's only a choice of letting go of your own habits, not in anything stronger.
I know you've heard me say this before, Andrew, but like the part of that cycle that I was in for a long time was like I was so I didn't realize at the time, but I was so afraid. Like every time I was in a good place, I would think like I hope that thing doesn't come back up, and I was bringing it back. Because of that, it was like a fear that I had that it would come back, and what broke it for me was realizing that it did come back with frequency, but I was always okay a few days later.
Mm-hmm.
I'd come back to center without a lot of effort, and then I'd be like, okay, I was just in a completely like stumbling, like overwhelmed mind with this issue 2 days ago, and now I'm totally fine as if it wasn't even a big deal. And so once I realized that, I could say, okay, it's okay if it comes back. Like, I'm going to stop being afraid of it because I know I'll be fine in 2 days or a week or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And that honestly set me free.
Mm-hmm.
It set me free, and that issue is just not, it's just not there.
Because she right-sized it. It used to tell her what to think. And then she began to tell herself what to think when that comes up.
Mm-hmm.
And now she tells it what to think.
Mm-hmm.
Goodbye. Right? It turned around like that. There's a transition that occurs.
Yeah.
And there's lesson 236, which says, I rule my mind, comma, which I alone must rule. That's one of the lessons Jesus would give you. He'd say, hey, this is, you got it, you do this. You creator you. You little teenage, juvenile baby creator.
Well, and that's just it, like, when it would come, I would be like, okay, I'm here again. And I would just, like, my mind would not be on its roll, and I would just acknowledge that it was on its roll, and I wouldn't really try to stop it. Sometimes I'd play into it, but it was just this acknowledgement of, like, okay, I'm back here, and I know I'll be okay.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what broke it. So,
nice.
Yeah.
Perspective, right? She got bigger than it. It was bigger than her, and then she got bigger than it. Right sizing.
Not fighting it.
Not fighting it, making it stronger. Not,
like
not running from
it.
What?
I like that right sizing.
Yeah.
That's a good way to put it.
Good. Good.
Yeah, that was really helpful.
So,
but But I love this, when the peace in you has been extended to encompass everyone. Mm-hmm. It's just like, you know, it brought to mind the image of what the Buddha's enlightenment was. It was this light extending everywhere, mm-hmm. including everyone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's this.
Yes.
So, this is so in sync.
Isn't it? Yeah, that's one of the encouraging things for me as I was taking on A Course in Miracles. Ooh, I recognize some of this.
And that being in that place is inclusive of, well, it says, it includes everyone.
Yes. Page one in the introduction.
Yeah.
It says, this book does not teach the meaning of love, for that cannot be taught. But what's all encompassing can have no opposite.
So that's where we truly live, and if you recognize it,
yeah.
Boom, lala, bing, there's everybody else in it.
Fear is the opposite to love, but what's all-encompassing cannot have an opposite. So much right there in that one sentence. Like, whoa, this is a whole teaching.
You just get that one thing, huh?
Yeah. Okay, the gratitude you owe the Holy Spirit, he asked, but that you receive for him. What? Yeah, okay. My part. And when you look with gentle graciousness upon your brother, you are beholding the Holy Spirit. Graciousness, gratitude, receiving. For you're looking where the Holy Spirit is. And that's in italics. The is. You're looking where the Holy Spirit is and not apart from the Holy Spirit. Now that means you'd have to have a miracle to look at something other than you and say, there is the doorway to oneness. It's like looking at a mirror and seeing something over there, but recognizing actually that I'm seeing it over there, but it's actually reflecting what's over here. It's exactly like looking in a mirror and recognizing the source of the image. When you look at another, don't know, especially as a complete stranger, you know nothing about that person whatsoever. Mm-hmm. But what we're trying to have dawn on your mind is that they're all connected. There is a single source to which you have full access. And thus is how you play with all these different tall ones, short ones, dead ones, alive ones, political ones, apolitical ones. This is how you play. No problem with your play, except for you got stuck in your own dream and you've made up one of the little figures as you. And you're now a victim of yourself. What? Yeah, that's right. Oh, that's twisted. We need to wake up out of that dream. It's a nightmare. Chasing your tail. That's all. No harm really done. It's a good thing to wake up from. That's why we read this book. Yeah, sooner the better. Amen. Now, you cannot see S-E-E. When the book uses the word see, it usually means with your body's eyes. It uses the word vision when we're talking about awareness in your mind. You cannot see the Holy Spirit, but you can see your brothers truly. This is again like the mirror. You cannot see a perfectly clean mirror. You see an image in it, and it shows you that the mirror is working. You can't actually see the Holy Spirit, which is the understanding of oneness. Like you can't actually see the piece of glass if it's uber clear or super clear window. You ever had that experience where you have to touch to see? Oh, there is a window there. You had that? Couldn't see it. This is the case here. You can't actually see the Holy Spirit because you are in a place where unholiness is number one. You're in a place where separation is number one, and oneness and unity is someplace else hidden. So, by default, you do not see the Holy Spirit. This is why it would take some training to get rid of the habit of always seeing differences and trying to survive as one of the separate differences yourself. This is a habit that we need to retrain. I'm telling you, this is why our meditation, I think, is so important. You've got to make a little journey in your mind where you experience the possibility of not being a body. Meditation. You call the body to disappear for a while, which is why it's really good to be aware of what you're doing on purpose. I like to sit straight up for my meditations so that the body serves me. The body serves my mind. My mind is going still and understanding that the body is not what I am. I don't make the body super, although it turns out to be the most comfortable way to sit now, but I think that's all tied together. It's a training. It's an untraining. It's a choice to train yourself on untraining what you already know. Luann says the ego knows. Yeah, man, that's closed. That's a closed way to be, especially when it knows something that isn't true. Now it's stuck, circling. You know what you need in a situation like that? What does she need? She needs a miracle.
I think I had one tonight.
Good. What did you get?
When you asked us to go to our place, and I said I already had one.
Yes.
So I went, and it has been for years now. Me sitting leaning against the tree looking down at this meadow. Mm-hmm. And as I was sitting there, it got darker and darker and darker, and pretty soon I couldn't see. It got black. I couldn't see my body, or the tree, or the meadow, or anything. But what came was something that has come to me a number of times, but not often enough. And what came was, I get this blue light in my head, and it says, now you're blessed. Now this is true.
Nice. That's great.
And when it started happening, I thought, maybe that's the thing you mean by the third eye or something.
Yes, it's the third eye's exact same discussion. That term, the term in this.
Wow.
No, it's, yeah, absolutely. You're complete alignment with what we're talking about here. In fact, the original draft, the notes that came through when Helen was scratching this down, it came out with the term spiritual eye. And that was for this vision. And you open your spiritual eye. And it was later removed and changed to the Holy Spirit. Which is vision. It's to be able to see without your eyes. Your body's eyes. So you're right on it. Good. Thank you for sharing that. Which would be proper if this is a place where you would have a transition and a translation from all things material. There would be a blessed moment where you have opened your eyes. And now you are free to see with vision. See what? Beyond is good enough. The word beyond is one of my favorite spiritual path words. Beyond is good enough. If you can see beyond that prison cell, your eyes are opening. And that's what we're called to do tonight, with tonight's reading, is trust that there is a part of our mind that's waiting to open and show us beyond the limits of our body, our life in a body. You just need a little bit of encouragement, Jeff. And this light will never go out. Once it's known to be true, it's known to be more true than any of the darkness that tried to cover it. Thought adjuster. Whispers like that.
Gone beyond.
Yeah. Is that a song or something?
It's the Buddhist chant.
Nice. Gong, gong.
Gong beyond.
Nice. Okay. Sentence four, you cannot see the Holy Spirit, but you can see your brothers truly. Like the mirror, right? Okay. And when you see your brothers truly, when you see your image in the mirror, you know the mirror is working. Proof, right? It's super clean, you can't tell, but when you stand in front of it, ha, mirror. Ta. I think we're going to have more fun with that later. Okay. And the light in your brothers will show you all that you need to see. Hey, what need is there for seeing then? What need is there for seeing with your eyes then? You know what a mirage is? You've been driving on the long desert roads and you see water out ahead. There's no water. It looks like it's a lake. Right? When you're driving on the... This is a mirage. And your car kind of takes a dip down, and as you get closer to the water, it disappears. Proving that it was not there. And further down the road, because you can see for miles, where there was no water, now there is water, appearing to be yet again. But you no longer believe it, because you drove right through what was supposed to be water a moment ago. Your mind has been healed from the illusion of water by trying to experience the water. What need is there for reaching for a cup to fill it with if you're thirsty, when now you know? But you did it with experience. The differences of beings here is a mirage. It's a lie that you tell yourself for all sorts of fun reasons that have no longer become so fun. At times it's hell. So now it's time for a miracle. Now it's time to undo the fixation of separation so that you can return to the happiness of the healed mind. That's what we're talking about here. We have to allow... Yes? What's that? The healed mind. Yeah. Yeah. The opposite of a healed mind is a sick mind. And the sick mind is sick with just one problem. Anybody? What's the one problem?
Separation.
Bingo!
Yeah.
Yes, it's the separation held to be true. Is sick, actually. Sick in the way that bodies get sick and break and they don't function right. Your mind gets sick and breaks and doesn't function right when it thinks that separation is real. Healed mind. End of separation. It can go on extending with creation, extending joy, which goes on and on. Something worth sharing comes to your mind. You become a different being, one based on joy instead of fear. Just that. Worthwhile. Okay, we have just a couple minutes. Yeah, we'll have that. I'll have a six-pack of that. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Do. I'll just read the rest of this for us. Okay. When the peace in you has been extended to encompass everyone, the Holy Spirit's function here will be accomplished. Holy Spirit runs out of a job. He runs out of a job here. The Course says, you know, the Holy Spirit's going to kind of hang around with you to help you celebrate this whole idea of unification. But his function here in the world of separation is over. His job in your mind to remember, to rehearse, to even celebrate remains forever. Because the Holy Spirit is always present as now whole. No longer fixing doubts, but celebrating wholeness. I wish those words were actually in here. They're not, but it's my understanding. Okay, so when he is there for seeing, then when God has taken the last step himself, God has to take the last step, because you can't actually take your illusion with you to truth. You have to actually release. And so now the truth dawns on your mind in revelation. And all the illusions that you are so either guarding or trying to get rid of, they are released by understanding. All the illusions are released by understanding. This is a quote. This world is not left by death, comma, but by understanding. That's how you leave this world. Isn't that great? When God... What? Yes, it would be. That's the point. It would be great if you understood it. Yes, and if you understood the true nature of things, it would be great. That's what the book is for. When God has taken this last step himself, the Holy Spirit will gather all the thanks and gratitude that you've offered him, lay them gently before his Creator in the name of his most holy Son, and the Father will accept them in his name. What need is there of seeing? Back to seeing in the presence of his gratitude. Yes. Yes.
So what need is there of seeing? Okay. With these eyes? These little
correct.
Body eyes?
Correct and exactly. Mm-hmm. That's how radical this stuff is. It's specifically saying with your eyes. Mm-hmm. You see, your eyes... Okay, so they're windows of the soul on the way in, all right? That's the old saying? But your eyes are windows of separation going out. Your eyes would prove to you separation is real with what they witness. Because they're designed to see physical things. May you not be a witness to that anymore. Spiritual reality is... It is an awakening from the material limits.
It's kind of cool that you can let go of yourself and experience the gratitude.
Nice. Yes. Let's have a circle. Yeah, a baby circle.
Rainy day circle.
I'll circle it.
Yeah,
rainy day circle.
Yeah, I never get that right.
Oh, the salami?
Well, underneath, and then on top, and then the energy goes in a circle.
Very powerful. Mirrors.
Put all your energy in the middle. Dump it all in the middle. Let it reflect back out in a random pattern. Let it go all of it in.
Like a disco ball.
Yeah, the disco ball. Take a deep breath as you bring in that energy. Oh, let it back out and share it with everybody. Let your energy just flow in the middle of the circle and then randomly bounce back out to whom it goes and to where. We only care that it goes, that it's shared. Yes. Feel the energy from each of the loving people next to you and across from you. For you are free beings. You are not a victim ever at any time. May you recall to yourself this part of your mind that knows this freedom. Go to that little altar. Go to that little garden. Give yourself this gift often. Get the neural paths working, so that you know this piece is true personally and privately in your mind. Take it with you wherever you go. Know you have access to peace at any time in this world for the rest of your life and the rest of your being. this you will share. You cannot share your body. You cannot share your ego. You cannot actually share your fears. But this we're talking about, you can share, and you will share. This is the peace of God. From this peace grows all things you really want. Thank you, thank you. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thanks, everybody. Yeah.
Thank you, Andrew.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
Oh, yes.
Beautiful comments. And also, I at first, I was just really stupid.
No, you're pretty rock solid. I need that, or just this. I mean, this is plenty.
Just to hear when you said, well, you know, once you see, now I thought that happens to me all the time.